Welcome to True Story, the Public Relations Podcast, a space where we get a peek behind the scenes of brands and businesses that have a real story to tell. Because in today's world, we are done with perfect and fake. We want to support brands that aren't afraid to show their true colors. I'm your host, Whitney Lee, the founder of True Story PR, an agency focused on helping businesses show up authentically through their social media, PR, and more. We pride ourselves on always keeping it real. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hey, welcome back. It's another solo episode, and I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, my voice sounds a little crazy today. I've got a lot of pressure in my head. I just went on a two-week trip. Part of it was for business. Part of it was for fun. So I went to the Brand Builders Conference in Nashville. I went down to the Tampa area and went to the Entreprenista 100 Awards. That was actually in Palm Beach, but I stayed in Tampa with a friend. And then I did Disney with my family and got back. And a few days later, got hit hard with a good old case of COVID. So I've been on the mend this week. But if my voice sounds crazy, that's why. I got a lot of pressure happening in my head, but I am feeling a lot better. So wanted to hop on today and continue the series that we've been doing with all the different industries. So I had a few people reach out and ask about food, beverage, restaurant. Okay, so this one's not really going to be about like food and beverage products. It's going to be more about like restaurants. Okay. And I'll probably do a separate episode about food and beverage, like actual products, because that's a totally different strategy. So today we're going to be talking about restaurants. And naturally, if you know anything about my agency, True Story, we do a lot of hospitality-based clients. So I have worked with a ton of restaurants since starting the agency. Actually, fun little fact, last week was 10 years since I resigned from my corporate job at the Hilton Sandestin. So cannot believe it's been a whole decade since I have worked in the corporate world. But let me tell you, I will never go back. No hate, no shade to the Hilton Sandestin. I loved my people there. They actually became a client after I left. But the corporate world is just not for me. So a pretty cool little celebration, like a little anniversary celebration, which I'll actually have to celebrate when I can get back out in public again. So anyway, so I've got a lot of experience in restaurants. Actually, my first job out when I was in high school, my first real job besides like babysitting, was at a Backyard Burgers. So if any of you have ever heard of a Backyard Burger, it's like a fast food joint. And Backyard Burgers is freaking delicious. And we had the best time ever. So I always tell people I have worked in fast food to fine dining. I worked in a fine dining restaurant in college. I bartended at a fine dining restaurant as well. I worked at a fine dining restaurant when I first moved to Destin. I've worked in banquets inside of resorts. So I feel like I know the restaurant world very, very well. Even when we when I started the agency, I've worked with numerous different types of restaurants. Again, everything from super casual to fine dining. So yeah, and still today we represent some restaurant groups and we love working with restaurants because it's fun. And also, who doesn't love to eat? I mean, really. So that's what we're going to be talking about today is, you know, if I owned your restaurant, here are the things that I would be doing to prevent myself. Here are the strategies. But first of all, before we like dive into the strategies, the first thing I want to say, and honestly, I feel like this could apply to really any business, but especially for restaurants, like I want you to really look at your restaurant and decide who you are. Okay. I see a lot of these restaurants that try to please everyone and their menus are all over the place. Have you ever been somewhere and like their menu literally is like sushi, pizza, pasta, ice cream, breakfast food, like, and like 20 different styles of food, Indian food, Chinese food, like all of this all over the menu. And you're just like, what the heck? I want you to decide who you are. You know, like some of those restaurants do well because they're kind of crowd pleasers, I guess. I'm not going to say they don't do well, but for the most part, the restaurants that are most successful really determine who they are and what their thing is, and they go for it. Okay. For example, an Italian restaurant, they own that. They're good at pasta. They're good at pizza. They're good at cannoli. They're good at Italian things, and they focus on that. You don't see them putting sushi on their menu, right? Well, same thing for other types of restaurants. Like, determine what you are. If you're going to be a steakhouse, be a steakhouse. And of course, you can have fish on the menu or a chicken dish or things like that, but you've got to be known for something. Again, that kind of goes with any business, but I think it's really important with restaurants to like identify what do you want to be known for? Do you want to be known as the top steak restaurant? Do you want to be known as a destination for incredible wine or the most bomb-ass martinis in town? Like, decide the things that you want to be known for and really focus on letting that lead your messaging and all your platforms. So that's the first thing before you really dive in, is deciding who you are, what you want to be known for. And then first of all, you know, obviously with any restaurant, you got to have photos and videos. Okay. Like, people eat with their eyes, right? I do, for sure. And what's interesting, I'm a total nerd, and we'll get into review sites, but I actually look at review sites and I look at what the dishes look like, and I order with my eyes a lot of times. And it's so interesting because, you know, you will read something on a menu and it sounds delicious, and then they bring it out to you and you're so disappointed, and you're just like, oh, that's what it is? So I always say, restaurants, you need photos and videos, and keep it real. You know, you don't have to have these like overly curated images of food. And in fact, I'm not telling you to not do that, to have like really nice images for your website and whatnot. But also, I think you need some more realistic lifestyle photos. You know, why do you think people look at review sites? Because they want to see what your food actually really looks like. I mean, come on, do y'all watch like Burger King commercials or McDonald's commercials or whatever? I'm not just hating on those two. I'm not hating. But you see these photos on these, you know, big national commercials, and these burgers and stuff look huge and delicious and juicy. But then when you actually get it, you know, you go through the drive-thru and you get it and you open it up, like, it's like smashed, and like there's half a piece of cheese hanging off of it, and the lettuce is all wilted, and like, that's not what they're really getting. People want to know what they're actually going to get when they come to your restaurant. So, I definitely would say photos and videos, you know, keeping it real is very important. So you can have your nice photos, but you also need to have some realistic ones, especially for social media. So we have a content team that actually goes out, and they're not professional photographers. These are our content creators. Okay. So they go out to our restaurants, usually quarterly, and they do like a whole day of images and videos and boomerangs and things like that to get real photos and videos of food, you know, so that way people identify with real. So that's number one on your list, is make sure you have a good resource to get photos and videos for your website, for social, all the good things. So, and you know, number two, well, I would say this is some big picture planning, is you want to keep it fresh in your restaurant, right? So let's say you do build a really amazing local following. After a while, you know, if nothing ever changes at your restaurant, people, no matter how much they love you, you know, people want to do something different, you know? So keep it fresh at your restaurant. You need something newsworthy consistently happening. So, for example, actually the restaurant inside of the Hilton that I used to oversee is a AAA Four Diamond Steakhouse. It's amazing. And we used to do seasonal menus there. I think they still do it. We did seasonal menus to give people a reason to come back in to try something different, you know. So we would put out a fall menu, a spring menu. And every time we did, we would like send out a release or a notice and we'd post it on social. It's like something newsworthy to talk about. Maybe it's a seasonal cocktail menu for you, or maybe you do a special prefix dinner, you know, for Easter or for Mother's Day or for Valentine's Day, you know, like for special holidays, do like a prefix dinner where, you know, it's a 4-course dinner for X dollars, you know, or even, I mean, at a very minimum, do a nightly special. You know, one of my favorite restaurants is in Miramar Beach, Florida, and I've had everything on the menu. I'm not kidding you. I've literally tried every single dish on the menu. So every time I go in there, the first thing I ask is like, what's the special tonight? Because I like to mix it up and the special is always so bomb. So think about that. How can you keep it fresh? You know, you've got to have something, and I'm not telling you like recreate the wheel or change your entire menu, but maybe seasonally you have 3 special seasonal dishes, or nightly you put together a special or something, you know? So you definitely want to keep it fresh. So, and number 3, the thing I would say is to really brand your team. People connect with people. If you've been listening to this podcast, I'm probably beat that into your head so hard that you're sick of hearing it, but people connect with people. I mean, we love food too, but what's going to keep people coming back is good service and good people. You know, even at the most amazing restaurants, if they have a negative experience with their server, with their bartender, with the hostess or whatever, that will turn them away. They don't care how good your food is. People will turn them away. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, good people will always bring them back. Even if they had maybe not a great experience with the food, if you reach out to them personally and they have like a good personal connection, I do think you can get them back in there. So I say this to say brand your team, okay? So if you're an upscale restaurant and you have a chef, make your chef the star of the show. Really brand him or her. Put them out there, you know, include them on your ads or put them on social. Let them have a voice on your social media. Or, you know, if you don't have a chef, maybe you're kind of a more casual environment. What about a bartender or a manager, you know, somebody that can engage with people on social, somebody that they're going to connect with, or feature a different, you know, server or kitchen member on your social all the time. People love to know who's behind the businesses that they love. That's when they really build a connection. So work on like, how do you get your team at the forefront and build connections with them? I mean, I'm sure y'all know people like this, but I mean, I know people, especially when I was in college at the restaurant I worked at, there were people who had been sitting at that bar every day for longer than I had been alive at that point, because they always knew the bartender, the manager, or whatever. It was like a second home to them, you know, like Cheers or something, you know? So it's, you know, it blew my mind. Like they would go up there every day. Think about how much money they spent in that establishment, but it's because they felt like they knew people and they felt at home there. So really branding your team, A, will make your team members feel loved and appreciated, and they'll take more pride in their business, I mean, in their job at your business. And 2, it helps your customers build connections. So those are my first 3 things for you to like really think about. And now we're going to kind of dive into more of the tactical, like things you should actually be taking action on and doing. So, okay, first off, social. Obviously, every restaurant needs social, but I want you to think about this. When you're doing social media for a restaurant, okay, if somebody doesn't live in your area, let's say you are a local restaurant, if somebody doesn't live in your area, why would they follow you? Why? Okay, so that hopefully helps you like think about what you're posting. If you're only posting some kind of special every single day, that's never going to resonate with people anywhere else, you know, because they're not accessible to you. They don't care what the special is today because they live 8 states away, you know? So think about that when you're deciding what you're posting. Can it be more evergreen? And I'm not saying not to post about your happy hour, but don't make every single post just about specials, okay? Talk about the origin of the dish. Talk about the chef and how he came up with the dish, or have the chef explain the dish, or have the chef show them how to make a special sauce, or, you know, get creative with like more, I call it editorial type content, editorial evergreen content, rather than like the special of the day is, you know, or like it's happy hour again today from 4 to 6. It's Margarita Monday again. Like, nobody cares, you know. Maybe you'll bring a few people in through that, but for the most part, you'll never really grow a big following that way. So for social, I just want you to think about that. Like, does what you're posting pass the who cares test? And really, you know, the whole point of it is to post shareable content. So something that is so mouthwatering when people see it, it doesn't matter if they live in freaking China. They're like, wow, this looks so amazing. I need to share this. One page I want to tell you guys to go look at. One of our clients is a group of Indian restaurants called Holi, H-O-L-I. Go check out Holi. One of our content creators, Jesse, shout out to Jesse. Jesse does all of their reels. She does all their content in general, and she freaking crushes it. Like, people who don't even like Indian food come to me and they're like, oh my God, that looks amazing. So it's just been such a huge hit, and it's not rocket science. It's just creating mouth-watering content that people can look at and they want to share it. So, you know, for social, like I said, get creative on, you know, featuring your team members, featuring different dishes and telling how, you know, maybe you source something locally or have a bartender make a martini on, you know, on camera. There's so much you can do on social for restaurants. Like, and also another aspect of this point is user generated content. Okay. In your restaurant, if you strategically place your hashtag around, people will start using it, okay? And I know with like a super upscale fine dining restaurant, you don't want your hashtag like on the white tablecloth, you know? So, you know, servers sometimes would say, oh, would love for you to share that and tag us or write us a review. Even a verbal request from a server will go a long way, like in a fine dining establishment. But watching your hashtag, because people love sharing food photos, right? They do it without you even asking them. So imagine what happens when you do ask them. So check your hashtag. Also check your location tag, and you're probably going to find so many good photos. I used to do this literally weekly, and we would find people that they celebrated their 20th wedding anniversary. Like, how cool is that? That's great shareable content. Or they had their birthday there, or, you know, they're celebrating, they're cancer free. Like, I found some of the most heartwarming posts just from looking at our hashtag and our location tag. And again, when you share that, your guest feels so special. You shout them out, you give them credit. Thank you, you know, Brittany or whatever, for sharing this a great post. They feel the love, you feel the love. It's just a great thing overall. So have a freaking heyday with social. I never understand when I see a restaurant that doesn't have good social media. I'm like, you have no excuse. You literally have the most photo-worthy, you know, product. Like, why aren't you taking advantage of it? So that's social. We're going to parlay a little bit into social ads. I think social ads are a great opportunity, especially if you're trying to target in your area. For some of our clients that are in really touristy areas, we use this a lot because there's so much competition, and it's hard to, you know, when someone's a tourist, they don't know all the options in the area. So we want to make sure we get in front of them. So we geo-target social ads on Facebook and Instagram mainly. And we also set it to like people living or traveling in this area. And we can do an X amount of mile radius around the restaurant. I mean, this is an absolute no-brainer. And we've also had, so that's a great way to reach people in your area. If, especially if you've got a tourism heavy area, that's a great way to get some quick awareness from, you know, people who don't live near you. Or if you're new in town, I think that's a great idea as well. We actually see a lot of success with social ads also for clients that have online ordering. So we pump that out through social ads, and we love to geo-target it because you can take it down on interest, age, all that good stuff. So social and social ads are an absolute no-brainer for restaurants. The next one that I'm going to talk about, and honestly, I feel like this is, if not the most important thing, it's definitely up there. And if you take away nothing from this episode, please take this away. You need reviews. You need reviews. And the top three places I'm going to say, number one, Google, obviously. Google's like the biggest everything. So Google, also Yelp and TripAdvisor. Those are the three big boys for restaurants. If you can get great reviews on all three of those, I feel like you are rocking and rolling. So, I mean, and you can obviously do paid campaigns on all three of those. And we had some clients that do that and they have seen amazing results. And then we've had some clients who don't have the budget to put it into that. And we just focus on getting them reviews organically. So pushing reviews. So how do you do that? Number one, if you're getting everybody's email address from reservations, obviously, send a follow-up email to say, hope you enjoyed your experience. If you would take 3 minutes of your time to write us a review, we would love to, I don't know, buy your next drink or buy your next dessert on us, that kind of thing. Asking them for a review. Some websites do get mad, especially like TripAdvisor and Yelp. They consider that to be bribing people. So be careful with that. But even just asking them, you know, we represented a breakfast concept for a long time called Mama Clemenza's. And she was a little tiny locally owned European breakfast cafe, but had an incredible following. And she was number one in the whole area on TripAdvisor with just banging reviews. But that's because Mama herself walked around to every table and would say, oh, how was everything? You enjoyed it? Oh my gosh, thank you so much. Hey, would you be willing to write us a review on TripAdvisor? That would just mean the world to me. She didn't even offer them anything, and people would do it because she was so sincere in asking them, you know? So reviews on Google, TripAdvisor, Yelp, you've got to get on it. And you also need to take a peek at what people are saying about you on there and respond. Even people that say nice things, you need to get, you know, you need to be responsive on those platforms. You know, even when somebody says something nasty, to get on there and reply, that immediately, you know, for other users that see that, that shows them that you care, you know. And trust me, I've had crazy people get on like these review sites of my clients when they didn't get their way. They go on there and they make up this crazy story saying they did this and they did that. And honestly, like, it really was a complete lie. And I do not just fold to those people and apologize. I don't. That's the Leo in me. Okay. I also tested as the highest on my Enneagram as an 8, which is pretty funny, but I'm actually a 1. But anyway, I definitely have that challenger in me. If someone is bold-faced lying, you know, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I had a nice way of saying like, hey, so-and-so, thanks for taking time to share your experience. Unfortunately, you know, the scenario that you described is not how our team remembers the situation. This, and this happened, and that is why that happened. You know, like, I don't like to make excuses on reviews, but I at least like put in like one sentence, like, so other users could see like this, and this happened, you know? And I always try to take it offline. If you would like to discuss more, you know, We never want a guest to walk away with a negative experience. If you'd like to discuss more, our manager, Josh, would love to speak personally with you. Please call blah, blah, blah. Telling you 99% of the time, they never call. And that's because they know they're lying. But still, it's important for you to address it so that other people who read that can know that you care and that you saw and that you at least tried to make it right. Okay, off my soapbox on reviews, but reviews are so important, y'all. Reviews are really important for any service-based business as well, but this one's a, you know, restaurants like that, you'll live and die by that. So next up, we're going to talk about events, events in two different ways. Okay, so first of all, we're going to talk about events like your involvement in other people's events. So maybe that's like a local beer fest. Maybe it's a local culinary festival, or maybe you put a float in the local Christmas parade, or is there a music festival and you could have a food truck out there? Or is there a charity event that your chef could go and be one of the chefs involved in the charity event? You've got to get out in your community. So I don't even care if you are a chain restaurant, okay? Some people are like, oh, well, we're a chain, so that doesn't mean us. Yes, it does, and it can, okay? I'll give you an example. There was a man that was the manager of the Carrabba's in my town years ago. This is like 10 years ago. So obviously, Carrabba's is a chain, right? But he was so involved in the community. He was always out at chamber events and connecting with people and working with charities and inviting people. Oh, let me host that at the restaurant. Oh, you know, so he was so involved that everybody knew Carrabba's and everybody went to Carrabba's. And I was like, what's the deal with Carrabba's? I mean, no hate, no shade to Carrabba's or anything, but like, what's the deal with Carrabba's? And they're like, oh, Paul's the manager. And so like his connection in local involvement in events and always offering, oh, you know, like y'all need free breadsticks for that event, I'll come out and bring, you know, a whole hot box full of breadsticks or whatever. He made connections in local events and it really made a big difference. So this is also a good idea if you have a chef, you know, again, we talked about branding your chef. It helps put a face to a name. Like, you know, we have big local wine fests in this area of Northwest Florida. So they always have a chef's tent or doing wine dinners or whatever. So get out there and connect and find out what events are happening in your community. At the very least, just like look on Facebook and go to the events tab and start looking around to see what events are happening in your area. So that's one aspect of events. The second aspect is hosting events in-house, okay? So maybe you are doing fundraisers for that local high school band, you know, like the typical, like on Monday, March 10th, a portion of proceeds from the whole night will go to the local high school band, something like that. Like, do that. Those are great. Obviously, if you're a fine dining restaurant, that might not be a fit for you, which is fine. But for maybe a more upscale restaurant, maybe you're hosting a wine dinner on behalf of a local charity, or you're partnering with another organization in town that does things. So, for example, one of our restaurants used to partner with the orchestra. The orchestra had a very affluent following, okay? Most people listening to classical music are pretty affluent, right? So the orchestra would host events and the restaurant would always partner with them. So there's opportunity, whether you're like a casual restaurant or an upscale restaurant, hosting something in-house, you know, giving people a reason to come back into the restaurant other than just coming in for dinner or lunch or something. You know, this kind of goes back to the beginning of the episode where I was talking about keeping it fresh, like giving them a reason to come back into the restaurant. So also another idea, gosh, we had an Italian group and we used to do cooking classes, and he had like a little showroom kitchen. That was such a hit. Oh my God, those things would sell out in 5 minutes. So cooking classes, or if you don't have something like that, a space, you could do that. What about like cocktail making, you know, and maybe you only sell the seats at the bar, but they get to learn how to make all these different cocktails. They get to sample 3 different cocktails or something like that. And it comes with some light apps and you sell the spots at the bar. Done. Easy. Just something. And again, if it doesn't even fill all the way up, who cares? It's no skin off your back. It's not like you made a bunch of food in preparation for this. Like, you already had all those ingredients sitting there. It just feels like something's happening at the restaurant, something different. So those are the two events, getting out in the community events and doing events in-house for yourself. Okay, so another thing that I would say is highly important to the success of a restaurant is email marketing. So people don't love giving their email out, and I'm obsessed with getting people's emails, but I think you do. You have to incentivize people to share their information. So at some of our restaurants, like we have a burger joint called Fat Boys, they have numerous different locations. We have, you know, on the napkin holder, we have a QR code where they scan that and we send them a free app for their next visit. But then we get their email address. Okay, so first of all, sending them, we have an auto reply. So as soon as they scan the code, it pops up, they drop in their name and email. We do this through MailChimp. So it's just like a landing page through MailChimp. It drops them onto a list, and then there's an auto. So as soon as they go onto that list, they automatically get the email that's like, hey, thanks for signing up. Here's your free appetizer. Okay. So A, that brings them back into the restaurant again. Wonderful. B, we get their email address. Even more wonderful. So then after that, you can email them, and I wouldn't email them a ton. You know, I tell people like once or twice a month is really enough. I'd have some clients that want to do weekly, and it just depends on your industry, but I don't think weekly is really necessary for a restaurant because, yeah, that's kind of a lot. So we, for most of our restaurants, we do once a month, and that's just enough to stay in front of people and stay fresh without bugging them. So, and once a month, we just send out like a cool little update. Maybe we feature one of our cool reels that we posted on social, or we feature a review from somebody, or we feature a different dish, or we talk about our next upcoming event, or we talk about an event we just participated in town, you know, and then we give them some kind of special offer with every single email. Maybe it's $5 off your next bar tab, or maybe it's a free appetizer with the purchase of two entrees or whatever. We just send them special offers. So this list will come in handy, y'all, whenever you do go to do these events that we were talking about, like in-house events, or maybe you have a special holiday or even a slow time, you know, this list will come in handy because obviously these people are interested in you. They like you. They've been to the restaurant before. So make sure you are gathering emails, and especially going back to the events, your events hosted in-house and out in the community, if there's an opportunity, always have a QR code at your booth, at your table, or whatever, you know, at these events. You know, maybe you're offering people like enter to win a free $50 gift card. Get their freaking email. Every time you participate in something, bring a QR code, and we design a cute little graphic with the QR code, and we tell our clients, like, we get it printed for them, and they put it in one of those little plexi holders. Don't be walking out there making it look all ghetto and like just sticking a piece of paper on your table. Put it in a nice plexi holder, make it look nice, and then you have to mention it to people like, oh, hey, you want to enter to win a $50 gift card? All you got to do, just scan right there. Cool. You know, if you don't mention it, people aren't going to do it. Anyway, I'm a psycho about email addresses, as you can tell, but everything you participate in, you should have an opportunity to get in touch with those people again. Whether they're coming into your restaurant or whether you're participating at an event out around town, do something to get their email. Or, going to our next point, a text campaign. You know, texting for businesses is actually blowing up. For the longest time, I was like, this is not, no. People don't want to be texted by businesses, but you would be surprised. I read this thing the other day that said people are more likely to give their cell number than their email address, which was shocking to me. So I don't know. I don't like to give out either one of mine because I already get so many freaking emails and so many freaking texts that it's kind of overwhelming. But people do give out their texts. So maybe you run into somebody who's uncomfortable giving out their email, but they'll give out their cell phone number for a text campaign. So, and again, text campaigns, that really, you know, that needs to be special occasions only. Maybe it's like, oh, you know, Super Bowl Sunday is happening next week. You know, we're having all you can eat wings. Reserve your seat now. Or if you have a really slow day, you can have fun with text campaigns by saying like, surprise happy hour all day today. Come in and, you know, everything is 2 for 1 or whatever. You know, if you're having a really slow time, you can make something happen pretty quickly with text and email. So I always say those two are like the dynamic duo together. Usually somebody will give you at least one or the other of their info, but text campaigns are 100% great for restaurants. You can send coupons, you can ask for feedback. So definitely get their cell phone numbers if you can for a text campaign. And of course, I do think that traditional advertising, this is last but not least, I do think that traditional advertising is still a thing. And it totally just depends. Like, you know, people ask me all the time, like, should I do a billboard? Should I do a magazine? Should I do radio? Should I do this? It so much is dependent on what type of restaurant you are. Are you fast food? Are you fine dining? Okay, fine dining, no, you don't need to do radio. No, your people are not listening to traditional radio. Maybe something like Sirius, maybe, but not radio. Billboard, I think a billboard can be really good if your restaurant is not right on the road front. Like if you don't have roadside visibility, if your restaurant is like tucked away, like in a little shopping center or something, I do think a directional billboard can be very, very helpful for you. All of this is so like situational though, that it's hard for me to like give people blanket advice. And just going back to, gosh, one of our past episode, anybody that gives blanket advice that in marketing, I would be incredibly wary of that. Like even this episode, like I can give you some general outlines of what restaurants should be doing, but so much of this is so determined by what market you're in. Are you a chain? Are you locally owned? Are you fine dining? Are you casual? Are you know, there's just so, so much that goes into knowing how to market a business that it's really hard to give blanket advice. So hopefully this podcast gives you an overview of some things that work for restaurants. But again, you've got to take it and make it your own. You've got to figure out, because in restaurants, talk about a freaking saturated market, okay? You've got to figure out, you know, what makes you different. Okay, I'm a Shark Tank junkie. I watch Shark Tank all the time. And Mark Cuban always says, you're either the first, you're the best, or you're different. Okay, for restaurants, you're not the first. You know, you're not the first restaurant ever. Maybe you're the first Indian restaurant in your town. That could be a good angle. Okay, so are you the first? Are you best? Are you different? Of course, we're all going to say we're the best, right? Because we believe our restaurant, our baby is the best. But I mean, if you're going to claim to be the best, you have to have something to back it up and prove it. Do you have the best chef? Did he go to CIA? Did you, you know, like what makes you the best? Have you won the best award? You know, all these awards programs, have you won best of every year for the past 30 years? Okay, then that's a good way to claim that you're the best. Or number three, are you different? Are you different? And that's usually the angle that people have to take in business. You've got to find a way to make yourself different than all the other restaurants in town. Maybe you have the biggest wine list of the entire panhandle. Maybe you have the best martinis. Maybe you have the only menu full of prime steaks. I don't know what, you know, but you've got to find a way. What's like to make yourself different? What's your secret sauce? You know, so that's how I'm going to leave you today. I hope this was helpful for you. I love talking about food because I love eating food. I love cooking food. I love working with restaurants. So this has been a fun one for me. If you represent a restaurant or you work or own a restaurant, I hope this was helpful for you. If you have questions, I'm always here for you. You can find me on Instagram, The Whitney Lee, or you can also find me on LinkedIn just under Whitney Lee. So Thanks for listening. If you have another industry that you want to hear about, I'm all ears. I'm happy to do one of the next episodes on your industry. So have a great day.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode. If you loved what you heard, please take a moment to screenshot this episode and share it to social media using hashtag TrueStoryPR, or better yet, write us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you tune in. See you next time for another True Story.